Thank you for joining Michon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Hay, Chapter 5, Mishnayot Aleph through Dalet, Mishnahs 1 through 4. It's exciting, we're starting a new chapter with the first Mishnah. And we're starting with the creation of the world. Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. The world was created in 10 statements. God says vayomer, vayomer, vayomer. And at each point, something new is created in the world. And just as a bit of introduction, you'll see as we continue to go through the rest of the Mishnayot of this parak, that this is a parak that's really focused on lists and numbers of things. We start with 10, we move to 7, and then we go to 4. The numbers don't get too complicated, but you should know that there's some minor math involved as we continue with the lists in this parak. Uma tambud lomar, and what is actually taught to us by the fact that the world was created in 10 individual statements? V'halo b'ma'amar achad yakol lihibarot. Isn't it possible for the world to have been created in one statement? Or I would argue with zero statements. Why is it that God doesn't just say, Vayomer Elohim yihi olam, vayihi olam, end of breshid, you save yourself many psukim. Why does it do this? Ela lihi para min harasha'im. It's so that the evil people get what's coming to them. Shema'abdin et ha'olam shenivra basara ma'amarot. That they destroy a world that was created with 10 individual statements. V'litein sachar tov l'tzadikim, and to give a good reward to the righteous, shemekayimin et ha'olam, who sustained the world that was created with 10 statements. And I think that what this means is that we need to understand that God put a lot of care into constructing the world in order for us to appreciate that the world really matters to God. And so that the people who would destroy the world need to be told, God actually constructed the world with 10 meticulous steps. He paid attention to the world, and he wants you to pay attention to it. And also the tzaddikim, when they sustain the world, should realize that that matters to God as well. That we are something that God created with time, with care and precision. And when we reward the world with our time, care and precision, God is pleased and God acknowledges that. We continue with Mishnah Bet, Mishnah number 2. We got another 10. There are 10 generations, asara dorot, me adam ad noach, from the first person who was created until Noach. Lehodia, this comes to notify you, to teach you, kama erech apayim lefanav, how much patience there is before God. Shakol hadorot hayu machisin uva'in, because every generation was making God angrier and angrier. Ad shehivi alehem et mehamabul, until God finally reached the breaking point where God brought the waters of the flood. But God's breaking point is not immediate. It takes 10 full generations of evil before God puts God's foot down and says, enough. Not only this, but there are asara dorot, there are 10 generations, mi Noach ad Avraham, from Noach until Avraham. Lehodia, this comes to teach us, the same thing, kama erech apayim lefanav, how much patience there is before God. Shekol hadarot hayu machisinu vayin, because all of these generations were making God angrier and angrier. Ad sheba Avraham, until Avraham came. And when Avraham comes, we don't have a flood, we have just the opposite. Avraham comes, v'kibel alav sechar kulam, and he accepts upon himself all of their reward. It's a little bit complex to understand what it means to say that Avraham is receiving the reward of these people, this generation. There are really, I think, two dominant interpretations of what sechar kulam, all of their reward, refers to. One is that Avraham, through his inspirational presence, through maybe his tent that was open with four doors, really encouraged people to do tshuva. And when those people did tshuva, Avraham gets some credit for it. We actually see Avraham is playing an instrumental role in Avimelech doing tshuva. So we actually do have biblical precedent for the notion that Avraham makes other people do tshuva. Another way of understanding this is that Avraham is accepting the schar keneged kulam, that Avraham is so great that he deserves the reward that 10 generations of righteous people would have received. I think one third possibility, which I haven't seen quoted anywhere else, which either means that it's entirely wrong or it's entirely interesting, is that Kulam refers to not the people in the generations, but refers back to the previous Mishnah, where we talk about the 10 statements with which God creates the world. And since Abraham's righteousness, and through Abraham's arguing with God, Abraham sustains the world, he receives the reward that we described in Mishnah Aleph for the tzaddikim who are mekayimin et ha'olam, for the righteous people who sustain the world. We're continuing with Abraham's life in Mishnah Gimel. Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham avinu alav hashalom. There were 10 trials, 10 tests with which Abraham was tested. Our father, may peace be upon him. And amad bekulam, he stood up in all of them. Lehodia, this comes to teach you, to notify you. Kama chibato shel Avrahaminu alav hashalom. How dear our forefather Abraham was. May peace be upon him. Probably the simplest way of understanding the connection between the test and the dearness of Abraham is that even though Abraham goes through all of these trials, he not only passes them, but according to Rashi, amad bekulam, he stands in all of them, means that he doesn't even complain. Right? You can see Abraham's love in that even though God tests Abraham over and over and over again, in really some of the most famously difficult ways that a father or a person could be tested, and I think it's not incidental that they keep on referring to Abraham as Abraham Avinu in this Mishnah, even though he goes through all of these tests, he still remains steadfast in his closeness to God, and according to Rashi, his willingness to accept the next test without complaining. We're continuing with Mishnah Dalet, Mishnah number 4. Asara nisim na'asu l'avotinu b'mitzrayim. 10 miracles were performed, were done for our forefathers in Egypt. Va'asara al hayam, and 10 on the sea. Esther makot hivya kadosh baruch hu al hamitzrim b'mitzrayim. And God brought 10 plagues on the Egyptians in Egypt, va'asara alayam, and 10 different plagues at the sea. Asara nisyonot nisu avotinu et hamakom baruch hu bamidbar. And now we're going in the opposite direction. There were 10 tests that our forefathers tested the omnipresent, blessed be he, in the desert. Shena Amar, as it says, Vayenasu oti ze'aser pa'amim. They have tested me 10 times. Velo shamu bekoli. And they did not listen to my voice. And this Mishnah sort of ends with a sad coda, whereas Avraham Avinu seemed to be very successful in all of the tests that God placed before him. When we tested God, when we complained in the desert, we were showing the opposite inclination in two ways. First of all, instead of allowing God to test us, we're testing God. And secondly, instead of accepting those tests without complaints, those tests were complaints. I'd like to bring us back to Avraham Avinu, to Avraham, our forefather Avraham, who, according to Mishnah Gimel, underwent 10 really significant, difficult tests over the course of his life, the most significant of which, certainly the one that's had the most lasting psychological impression on Avraham's descendants, was, of course, Akedah Yitzchak, the binding or sacrifice of Yitzchak. And when the Mishnah describes Avraham's reaction to these tests, and use this very interesting verb that Avraham Avinu, amad bekulam, he was able to stand in all of them. And the simplest way of understanding this standing is that Avraham passed. There were these 10 tests, and Avraham was the victor in all of those tests. But when we hear the root amad, ayin mem dalet, in the context of Avraham, and we listen to it with a very rabbinically tuned ear, there's something else that really sticks out about this verb. The Gemara in Brachot, on page 26b, asks the question of, how do I know that I'm supposed to pray 3 times a day and that I'm supposed to pray at the times morning, afternoon, and night? And the answer, well, one of the answers that the Talmud brings is our forefathers. We know that Avraham established Shacharit. We know that Mincha was established by Yitzchak and that Arvit was established by Yaakov. And how do I know that Avraham is the one who established the morning prayer, that Avraham prayed Shacharit on a regular basis? I know this from chapter 19, verse 27, Perek Yotet Pasuk Chav Zayin, which reads, Vayashkeim Avraham Baboker. Avraham woke up early in the morning, and what did he do? He went to El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Et Pnei Adonai. He went to the place where he had stood before God. And the Braita makes the obvious conclusion. We know what the Amidah is. We know what it means to stand. Ein Amidah Ela Tefillah. The root, Ayin Mem Dalet, the root to stand, actually refers to prayer when we are in the context of this verse and when we are thinking about the practice, the regular practice of Avraham. So I'd like to suggest that there's another way of understanding what it means that Avraham amad bekulam, that Avraham stood in all of these tests. It doesn't mean that Avraham passed. It doesn't mean that Avraham failed. It means that this was the secret to Avraham being able to stand strong, to remain steadfast, to remain loving throughout the course of all of these tests. Avraham's secret was he would pray his way through it. That Avraham took strength out of the relationship that he created with God from the fact that he had had this regular daily prayer practice, that he was someone who was able to say, God, I'm not sure that as the judge of the earth, you are really doing justice. This is Avraham. Avraham had a strong, regular, communicative relationship with God, and that's how he was able to be omeid. That's how he was able to stand despite all of the tests. And a lot of ink has been spilled and a lot of hearts have been broken over the Akedah, and a lot of people have asked, did Avraham pass the test or did Avraham fail the test? Was he supposed to sacrifice Isaac or was he not? And we know that we're never going to know the answer to that question. And maybe in the eyes of this Mishnah, it's not the right question. The question isn't, was Avraham supposed to listen to God or was he supposed to protest or was he supposed to refuse? The question is, how did Avraham maintain a relationship with God despite his having a really hard life, despite his being asked to do something where he wasn't sure if what he was doing was correct, if later generations maybe would have judged him harshly? And the secret to Avraham's being able to withstand the test was that Avraham was praying. And in our lives, hopefully, we're not being asked to sacrifice our children. We're not being asked to do really extreme demonstrations of faith. But we all go through times where we're being asked to do more than we feel like we can. We all go through times where we feel like maybe it's not a test, but it's a challenge. And we're not sure if we're making the right decision. And what this Mishnah, what this verb of standing can teach us is, it's not really that significant whether or not you pass the test. What's significant is whether or not you survive the test. And the key to surviving the test is zooming out. The key to surviving the test is relying on the larger context of the relationship that you have, of being able to pray your way through it. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek He, Chapter 5, Mishnayot, He through Vav, Mishnahs 5 and 6.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.